Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. Welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's podcast. I appreciate you all tuning in, following me, and taking this journey along with me. It really does my heart good to see that so many people are joining in, and I wish that you all would continue to ride with me, to take this journey with us as we explore how we can make the police department within your area a better place, how we can understand and bridge the gap between police and the communities that they serve. So once again, we got a great episode, and I'm not just saying that. I think it's going to be very informative. We're going to look at two different perspectives, and I'm going to give those two different perspectives. As the title says, we're going to look at the warrior versus guardian mentality that many officers are having. So I did not know how great of a problem or great of a controversy this was until I really started to get into the nuts and bolts of this. And so we're going to take this journey, so just come along with me. But before we start off, let me just start off by plugging my business, LNH Police Training and Consulting. Please visit my website, hunterpolicetraining.com. Check out my website. And at that website, you will find out how I can help you to reach your dream, your goals, and your desires of A, either becoming a police officer, or if you're already a police officer, that you will take my courses and excel on your next promotional opportunity. Whether you're going for sergeant, lieutenant, captain, or even higher up, I can help you with the oral presentations. And not only have I taken the exams, I've sat on the other side of the table, and I've heard and understood what other proctors on those tests, other examiners are looking for in their prospective supervisors and managers. So if you want to do well in those tests, give me a call. I'll do what I can to help you to come along on your journey. That's my business. Check it out. I also have a blog where I'm writing a couple times a week about current events and what I think is important, particularly concerning the community and the police department engage each other. So I'm looking forward to making these things really, really beneficial towards the community. So check out my blog. There you will find resources and materials about things that I think that are important in order to help the community and the police get along better, go along better, and get to this common goal that we're all looking for. Please check out my website, visit me, hit me up if you're looking for my services. Once again, soon I'm going to be expanding into some other areas, and hopefully by the summertime or maybe even sooner, I'll have some other services that are up and running and the people can get some much needed services. And this, once again, I'm not just relegating this to law enforcement per se as police officers. If you're a correction officer looking to take a test, if you're military personnel or if you're a private citizen, you need some help with some interviewing skills, you're not getting the job that you want, you're not getting the second looks that you want or second and third interviews that you need in order to seal that deal, and maybe you don't understand why, I can help you with overcoming some of these obstacles. So once again, just hit me up and I'll do the best I can to help you out. You got to put forth the effort, and I know I'm going to put forth the effort. As I said, I've got the skills and the expertise to help you along the way. So let's get into what we want to talk about today. Warrior versus guardian. Now, once again, I did not understand the controversy that was around the warrior versus guardian mentality. I thought that every police officer was on board with becoming more of a guardian, and I'll explain what I mean by all this in a few minutes. But I thought that it was really just kind of, okay, this is where the police are going. You know, back during the Obama administration, there was a basic coming together of the mind, high intellectuals, and they developed this program called 21st Century Policing. Matter of fact, when I sat on an oral board for some sergeants in a city in Connecticut, the chief of police, as part of their process, in order to get people promoted, the chief of police wanted all of his prospective sergeants to read and study that 21st century policing that was put out by the Obama administration. Check out and understand all of the pillars that were part of that process. And so the oral board questions that we had to present to the different prospective candidates was all geared towards that 21st century policing. So that's how much that particular police chief agreed with going forward in the 21st century. So imagine my surprise to understand that one police chief was thinking he was all for this guardian mindset. Come to my surprise when I started reading and researching for this particular subject to understand that everyone is not on board with all that. So it's very, very shocking. So let's get into it. So what do we mean by warrior mindset? Since the 1960s, well, let me just back up and say, what do we mean by the warrior mindset? Now, there's three books that I think that everyone really should read. When I taught in my implicit bias classes and when I taught human behavior to police recruits, I always suggested that they read one book in particular, and that was Our Enemies in Blue, Police and Power in America by Christian Williams. Our Enemies in Blue, Police and Power in America, Christian Williams. Very good book. Talks about the rise of the modern day police officer and how he came about. It talks about how police departments developed in the North as well as the South with the slave patrols. Very good book. Is a very good history. Talks a little bit, not very much, but it talks about a little bit about this, about the contention between the fire department and police department. Talks about the contention between police department and other unions, even though police departments do have unions, right? Because it was police officers and police departments that were called in to bust up unions at the direction of the merchant class, essentially. So, read that book. I think it would give you really good insight into what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. Another book that people should read is Rise of the Warrior Cop by Radley Balco. Rise of the Warrior Cop. People should really read that book. It talks about the militarization of today's police forces, the modern day police forces, right? The bigger guns, the tanks, the Humvees, all the armament that police officers are walking around with today, including their body armor, including their tactical vests that they're wearing. It talks about all that and how that came to be, the overflow of the militarization of our military and excesses of armaments that they had that they then pass along to police departments. Read that book. Another book that we in our police academy for the city of Waterbury, we always suggested that our recruits read Arrest and Communication by Jim Glennon, retired Lieutenant Jim Glennon. In that book, he talks about how police officers should talk to people, should be empathetic towards people, and should understand. And when you communicate with people, that you understand what they're saying, where they're coming from, and their thoughts and their desires. Don't get to the scene if you're a police officer. This is what Jim Glennon and I'm ultimately going to be saying, is that don't get to a scene and then just start barking orders and giving commands and directions. Listen to what people are saying. Understand what they're saying. They may be excited and they may express their excitement in a different manner. As a side note, we all understand recently understand that when a certain female in Florida became excited when she called the police officers responded. She had the police, when she called the police because of a man who had pulled a gun on her and her friend, she's understandably excited. The man pulled a shotgun on her, they ran away. She's understandably excited. Due to that excitement, she's now interacting with the police as they're dealing with her. The police then tell her to calm down a number of times and then finally arrest her. Well, is anyone really going to be calm when someone just in your neighborhood that you live in has pulled a shotgun on you? And so that lack of empathetic communication, that lack of empathy, and this woman's excitement caused this officer to arrest her. Now, this case is just a few weeks old that I'm talking about. Because it's a few weeks old, we don't know what's going on with that. But I do understand, according to the last reports that I read, that the officer who made the arrest was under suspension. The case was being looked into by, of course, the administration. But what I'm talking about is this mentality of going in there, guns blazing, guns first, telling people to get in, barking orders, not being empathetic to what's going on. And that caused him to make this mistake of making this arrest. And I think that there was a mistake. And I'm glad, I'm not glad to see anyone face discipline or punishment, but we have to make corrective actions in order to correct them on the actions in that individual officer. And so that others will understand that, listen, we can't go around operating like this. That is a very sad example of the warrior mentality that I'm talking about. And just to give some type of definition to the warrior mentality, it's those who are dedicated to arresting, passing out tickets, taking a hard charge mindset when they're policing, right? They're trying to gain compliance through force and through intimidation. They believe in the militarization, bigger guns, bigger weapon. Think about the word warrior. You think about those who are in a war, right? They're at war with their very population, or at war with a certain population. And so when you're at war with a certain population, you're not thinking about empathy. You're trying to kill the other people. You're trying to control the other people. You're trying to control the circumstances and your situations. And you think that other people around you are simply trying to hurt you and trying to kill you. And for far too long, especially since the 1960s, there have been different reports. Think of the Koerner report, Koerner, K-E-R-N-E-R. You guys can Google that. Look at that report, and it talks about the different mass protests that were occurring in the 1960s. And they understood that as a result of this commission that was done, and I'm trying to understand why these riots were happening. They understood that it was really happening because of not only the social inequities as far as finances, academics, and societal issues that the African-American in particular community was having with the overall society, but it was also in response to how the police interacted with them. So read the Kerner Report, read the Kerner Commission. You guys will understand a little bit more about what I'm talking about. The warrior mentality. That is the warrior mentality, right? We get there, we assert our dominance, we let everybody know that we're here, and we're here to kind of take charge, kick butt if we have to. That is the wrong mentality, or at least that is the mentality that is being sought to be changed. Trying to think more of a guardian mentality. In previous podcasts, I talk about the sheepdog mentality, same philosophy, where you are the guardian of the sheep, you are the guardian of the people. And this particular philosophy is around protecting of the flock, but they still mingle with the flock. They still mingle with the sheep. They police through compassion, empathy, understanding, through that communication. And they get to know their communities, and their communities get to know them. They know the people in the community by the first name, and the people in the community know them, not simply as an occupying force, but they know them on a more personal level, right? This is John from down the street. He goes to the boys club and he walks through every day playing basketball. Oh, that's Fred over there. He's on his headphones. And conversely, the members of the community also know them as well. I was researching this. There are a number of YouTube videos, TED Talks that people can watch. And I just wanted to kind of chime in and give my opinion on which one I think is more important. And I do think that there is a difference in these two policing philosophies. I think that the guardian aspect is much more vital. Now, just truth be told, listen, I have a couple of degrees in psychology. So I think that this is really a psychological phenomenon that manifests itself in police work. What I'm saying is that whether you're more of a guardian as a police officer, whether you're more of a warrior as a police officer, it's really a matter of your own personality. And that is difficult to change and to fix, but it can be changed and fixed. And I'm choosing my words carefully here. And I do think that they can be changed and can be fixed. I think that those who are more warrior oriented can become more compassionate if they try and seek to understand the community. And let me be very clear. I think that there are certain times when you have to go in there and handle the situation, and only warrior mentalities will do. I'm not saying that we ought to take this soft-handed approach, or nor is it a hug-a-thug type of mentality, which I'm embracing in any and all circumstances. I think that we need to become more malleable as police officers, understand the situation and understand what's going on, right? When we think of the situation of Tamir Rice in Cleveland and the officer pulling up on the scene and shooting Tamir Rice within 3 to 5 seconds or somewhere along those lines. Coming in there, shooting Tamir Rice, killing him dead, right? This is the warrior mindset. It's also, in my estimation, terrible tactics and bad training. Now, whether the police department trained him and the officer didn't take to it, we can have that discussion and we can look at that another time. But I think that it's certainly a terrible situation in a product of the warrior mentality that you get a call about a possible child with a gun, and you just go in there, and you just go in there, guns blazing, and that child who was 12 years old ends up dead. How do you change that, right? You change your tactics, you train, and you understand, and you adjust your training. You change your tactics, and you adopt this more of a guardian aspect, and think to yourself for a moment, before arriving on scene, hey, maybe this kid does have, or maybe this adult, if you think it's an adult, has a right to carry a gun. Is this an open carry state? You know, I don't know the laws of Ohio, but is this an open carry state? Can this child have this gun? You know, is their mere possession, or does this adult or this person not have the mere right to have a gun because of who and what he is and where he is, right? Playing in the park. You pull up down the street, as far as tactics and training, you pull down the street, take an observational post from maybe a bullhorn or even a loud voice, say, just start giving some commands to, hey, listen, drop the gun, come over towards where I am, turn the sounds of my voice, things like that. So I think that slowing down, assessing the situation could have saved Tamir Rice his life. This is the contrast between the warrior and the guardian mindset and mentality. What are the qualifications that I have for talking about this? Well, I was a member of the crisis intervention team within my city. That meant anytime that there was any particular individual who may be suffering a crisis, whether it's mental illness or autism or any type of breakdown, then a member of the team would be called in there to try to handle, diffuse the situation. I mentioned I had a couple degrees in psychology. You guys can check out my website, check out my background to reassess that. I taught human behavior and implicit bias. So I think that all these kind of things will have a factor in what I'm saying. So let's talk about a little bit of the research. Seth Stoughton, S-T-O-U-G-H-T-O-N, Seth Stoughton, wrote an article for the Harvard Law Review Forum, April of 2015. Very good article. In that, let me just re-quote what he says concerning the Guardian mindset. Put simply, the Guardian mindset prioritizes service over crime fighting, and it values the dynamics of short-term encounters as a way to create long-term relationships. As a result, it instructs officers that their interactions with community members must be more than legally justified. They must also be empowering, fair, respectful, and considerate. The Guardian mindset emphasizes communication over commands, cooperation over compliance, and legitimacy over authority. Going into communities, particularly where relationships have been strained because of past accusations of police brutality and police violence, past shootings, past lack of sympathy, is only going to exacerbate problems. We need to have a more even-handed, fair-minded mentality when we're going into these communities. And I think that we need to go into communities, roll down our windows, talk to people in the communities, get out of our cars, walk through parks, shoot hoops with the kids, play chess with a couple of kids, interact with the communities instead of always running their names, license plates, and things like that. That every time you get out of your car, if you're running names, running license plates, checking people out, patting them down, if that's the only interaction that you're going to have with the police, then you're going to build up hostility and you're going to build up anger and angst within that community. And when you need them to help you solve these crimes, right? There's another article I read in BuzzFeed News where it says that if someone shoots someone in a major U.S. city, odds are you'll get away. This was written January 24th, 2019 by a few different authors. But the crux of the case that these authors were making in BuzzFeed News is that there's a very low chance that if there's a shooting, a non-fatal shooting within larger American cities, then the solvent rate is very low. Now, why is it very low? Well, because, yes, police officers are very busy actually solving the actual homicides and chasing down other bad guys and things like that. But one of the reasons solvent rates of certain crimes are very low is because people within their communities don't trust the police and don't want to talk to them. We want people to talk to us. We want people to give us information, which is the best way which we solve crimes, is by giving us information. Then we have to make what we call deposits. And these deposits are how we can get people to trust us and to be in line with us. Those deposits are talking to the children, going to community events, showing up at different events where people get to know us and we get to know them, going to local churches, going to local mosques, going to local temples, going to community events, going to our parks and hanging out with the kids as they're younger, middle-aged, teenage kids, right? We hang out with them, talk to them, and let them get to know us. Invite them into our community and into our spaces where they can come tour the police station and things like that. These types of deposits go a long way. When I was on vacation with my wife, we were at this place and we were sitting down. I met a pastor from another state. Actually, he's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was a local pastor there. And he was saying that he missed the day and the time when police officers got out of their vehicles and interacted with the public, right? We need more beat cops who know their beat, who walk around and get to know the people who live in the communities. He mentioned these things because I told him, you know, we obviously, you know, during small talk, we ask each other what we're doing, things like that. I told him I was a police officer. I think I was a lieutenant at the time. And he was told me that he was a local pastor. So that's from BuzzFeed News concerning how people can get away with shooting other people when they shooting at people in larger cities. So this is something that we really need to watch, get a hold of, get control of, and go from there. So that's the warrior. I define for you warriors and guardians. I am very much of a guardian in my own personality. I think that's the way to go. I think that the police officers need to adopt more of a guardian mindset. I think that it only pays off dividends in the end. As I said, pastor that I mentioned, he wanted more of a guardian. Now, he didn't say it specifically, but during our conversation, I understood that that's what he wanted. I think that it only benefits the community. When I talked about in my first podcast about consent decrees, I talked about how the Los Angeles Police Department turned themselves around. And as a result of turning themselves around through the consent decree, that they were now gaining the compliance and the trust of the communities that they were serving in their crime arrest rate and solvent rate for different activities and different crimes was skyrocketing. And it's all because they adopted a different mentality of going in the communities and showing them who's boss. We know who's boss. You've got the gun, you've got the badge, you've got the authority, you've got the backing of the state. There's no need to flex your muscle every single time you walk into a situation. Yes, once again, I'm saying that there are situations when you need to go in there and flex muscle. Of course, yes, no doubt about it. However, I think that first thing you need to try is to try to be more flexible, try to be more empathetic and understanding. Continuing on with this warrior guardian mindset, there's a director at the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. Essentially, she's the one over their police officer training council, if you will. So her name is Sue Ra. She and another author, Stephen K. Rice, wrote something for the Harvard Kennedy School. Their article that they wrote was From Warriors to Guardians, Recommitting American Police Culture to Democratic Ideals. She adopted this guardian mindset and is going through the country, writing articles and things like that, directing the Washington State, and changed their philosophy from this warrior to guardian. So she writes a number of different things. So let me just read something that these authors wrote. Despite two decades of aspiring to effective community policing, American law enforcement seems to have drifted off course of building close community ties towards creating of a safe distance from community members. In some cases, substituting equipment and technology as a preferred means of gathering information about crime and addressing threats in public safety. In some communities, the friendly neighborhood beat cop, community guardian, has been replaced with the urban warrior, trained for battle and equipped with accoutrements of weaponry of modern warfare. Armed with sophisticated technology to mine data about crime trends, officers can lose sight of the value of building close community ties. So these authors are echoing exactly what this local pastor in Philadelphia was telling me about. In the search for more data-driven evidence, the University of Florida actually wrote an article concerning the data-driven evidence on warrior versus guardian policing. The name of the article is Police Officers as Warriors or Guardians, Empirical Reality or Intriguing Rhetoric by Kyle McLean, Scott Wolf, Jeff Rojek, and a couple other people. Now, I'm reading from Science Daily right now. Science Daily, back in February, wrote this particular article. Now, the paper, I have not been able to read that yet. However, let me read to you a portion of the article concerning paper. This is what these researchers at the University of Florida did. They wrote this particular paper. Now, this is a summary, once again, from sciencedaily.com. The warrior concept associated with the idea of militarizing policing and is consistent with the traditional view of police work, to search, chase, and capture. However, the newest concept of guardian emphasizes social service, valuing community partnerships, and establishing positive contacts. For the study, researchers surveyed officers from police departments in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Tucson, Arizona. Survey participants received 9 questions and were asked to indicate their agreements to a given survey from 1 strongly agree to 5 strongly disagree. For instance, one survey item asked, as a police officer, I see myself as a civil servant. That was one of the questions. Officers were also provided a hypothetical scenario of a suspicious person walking in the park at night and asked about how they would respond. The team found that warrior and guardian models are 2 distinct approaches to policing. However, officers were able to adopt both mentalities. They also found officers who scored higher on the guardian measure were more likely to value communication, while higher scores on a warrior measure revealed greater importance on physical control and more favorable attitudes towards excessive use of force. McLean, one of the authors, said that the warrior mentality often leads to more use of force, making it more likely that officer or the citizen gets injured. Research has shown the guardian mentality has very positive outcomes, McLean said. While we recognize that you can hold a guardian and warrior mentality at the same time, if you're not already emphasizing guardianship in some aspects of your work, you're not doing it to the best of your ability and possibly to the detriment of community relationships and well-being. Again, here's another group of authors, another performed a scientific study and said that we can, that officers can do better. All they did, and sadly, one of the main recourses of this warrior mentality of getting there, thinking that to gain compliance, I don't know, once again, I'm not going to say this because I don't want to get beat up for this, but you know, who knows what happened with the Tamir Rice shooting, whether it was just simply bad tactics or if the officer was operating on that warrior mentality. But I think it's safe to say that there is some type of warrior mentality where you think you got to get there and physically assess it and physically control the situation before actually assessing it. Look at the backlash that the community has suffered and the relationship with the community and the police has suffered. Look at the backlash between this viral video that has gone on about the woman who was arrested in Florida who had the shotgun pointed at her. Look at the backlash of the officer who was arrested back in the 2015 shooting of a stranded motorist back down in Florida. The officer was in civilian clothes, working a special detail, allowed to wear civilian clothes, sees a stranded motorist on the side of the road on 995, drives down the wrong way on 95, confronts the man, and within 10 seconds kills him. What is the backlash behind these types of things? Not only did he kill him, but then he lied about it, right? This is when warrior and rogues go amok and go wrong. So you have this warrior mentality, you think you've got to control everything. If you really want to help a stranded citizen, why not, you know, announce yourself as a police officer, drive up the right way, say, listen, I'm here to help, take this thing slowly. To simply say that, and also call for a uniformed officer. There's so many ways that situation in Florida could have gone right, but they went wrong because of bad tactics, because of, in my estimation, a wrong mentality, and not really being there to help, and being so heightened in your approach that you don't take time to really assess the situation. Of course, I went through the same training that every single police officer, I would imagine, has gone through, that things can turn bad very quickly. And you have to have a plan to respond, right? There's a saying within law enforcement that you have to have a plan, you know, be nice to everyone, but have a plan to kill them if necessary. And so I think that mentality is driving too many people and making them operate in this mindset of fear. What is the backlash of that? What is the backlash behind Betty Shelby, who shot and killed a man, Terrence Crutcher? What is the backlash between the community? Is the community going to be more trusting of someone who shoots him, who shoots someone in these particular instances? And, you know, her reasoning for shooting this man was boiled down to, in my estimation, you know, that of not taking any chances and being scared. And this is difficult to say and to admit, but I think that's the case. And according to a Vox, again, Victor Ocean X-ray.com, this is what she said, Ms. Shelby. If I wait to find out if he had a gun or not, I could very well have been dead. I think that this mentality is very wrong, very harmful, and very hurtful for the man who died, for Terrence Crutcher, who died, for any officer who may be future, find themselves in the situation that Ms. Shelby found herself in. We have to slow down and take these situations step by step. Get cover, remain calm and relaxed to the best of our abilities. If someone's advancing on us, right, obviously take the necessary precautions and do what we have to do. There are numerous shootings across the country which do not reach these levels of viralness and outspokenness from the communities because people understand that generally being a police officer is a dangerous job. But we expect you to act professionally at all times and do what's necessary to protect yourself and to protect the public. But we can't take this attitude where we think that it's okay to shoot first and ask questions later because I might be scared. That's what the warrior guardian mindset is. That is where my philosophy lies upon those being guardians. And I think that as the article that I read from Science Daily, where these researchers have said that we can adopt both mentalities at the same time, we can become those warriors and guardians. But I think that if there's a percentage we have to put on it, I would say, you know, maybe 70-30. Be more of a guardian at most times. Be that willing to communicate. Listen to people. Read Jim Glennon's book. Understand where these mindsets come from. And then let's make some active steps in order to do something about it. So let me give the other side of the coin. So as I was doing the research for this, I came across an article in officer.com where it talks about warrior or guardian. And I want to read a little bit about this. This was written in June 4th, 2018 by John Wills. Now, John Wills is obviously in disagreement with Ms. Rye, and he writes this article in opposition to Ms. Rye. Let me just read this. Sue Rye also published a report in the Harper Kennedy School titled From Warriors to Guardians, Recommitting American Police to Promote to Culture to Democratic Ideals. Now, once again, Mr. Willis wrote this in opposition to Ms. Rye. Remember, she was a Washington State director. The report, which she co-wrote, warns that too many academies are training police officers to go to war with people we are sworn to protect and serve. Newsflash, Ms. Rye, it's not police who decide to go to war. It's the person who fails to comply or taxes. We don't determine the use of force. They do. Seth Stoughton, right, I mentioned his article, a former Tallahassee cop and law professor at the University of Carolina, said officers who treat people humanely, who show them respect, who explain their actions, can improve their perceptions of officers or their department, even when they are arresting someone. The goal of the guardian officer is to avoid causing unnecessary indignity. Now, this is Wills going off on what these guys have been saying. This guardian moniker promotion has not engendered whole-scale support. Critics accuse Ra of promoting a hug-a-thug mentality, one that may get cop killed. Proof in point, almost 20% of her staff quit or was fired after they opposed her suggested reforms. Today, now this is written back in 2018, today, Ra estimates that two-thirds of Washington's 285 police chiefs consider her training dangerous, or at very least are skeptical about it. One of those skeptics is Alexis Artwall, a former police psychologist and consultant to the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association, better known as ELLETA, I-L-L-E-T-A. Artwall co-wrote a book on Doug DeForest, and one of the blurbs describing the book begins with the words, "In a cop's world, it's kill or be killed." She compares complete work to defensive driving, expecting something bad is going to happen. It's not about dealing with the normal traffic flow, she continued. We should go out there and expect something bad will happen and watch out for it. If we're not paying attention, we could die. So that is a different contrast in the mentalities. As this officer wrote this particular article, John Wills wrote this article, someone posted in the comments the next day, June 5th, 2018, 33 years on, right? This particular respondent was on the job for 33 years. Attended Lieutenant Colonel Grossman's seminar 20 something years ago. The material and talking points raised my awareness, increased my focus so that I could be prepared for and survive any encounter. Since then, I made hundreds of physical arrests, and not a single accusation of excessive force was ever made because only the appropriate amount of force was used. The seminar did not turn me into a violent cyborg in uniform, but instead gave me the tools and mindset to properly do my job and the opportunity to go home safe after every shift. I've recommended the seminar many times, and my newly commissioned son will attend soon. Warriors are prepared and trained to survive the fight. Guardians, bar the door, call 911, and wait for warriors to arrive. Here you have it. You know, a couple of people and a number of staff from the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission, complete disagreement, and I'm sure that many police officers across this great country are in disagreement with the taking of the guardian mindset. It is my suggestion, my recommendation, from my years of being a member of the community, from my years of teaching implicit bias, from my years of teaching human behavior to academy recruits, from my years of degrees in research, that the guardian mindset is best. Every situation must be handled distinctly. And yes, I do believe the police officers should be prepared for every single action. I do believe the police officers should be prepared for everything, single thing that comes along their way. But that does not mean that we cannot be empathetic, that we cannot actually and truly listen to what is being said and told to us. It does not mean that we have to take a kick butt first, take names mindset later. I hope that any officer listening to this considers my words carefully. I've given a number of examples from Cleveland to a couple of cases in Florida where I think that having this particular mindset, acting first, not slowing down, assessing the situation has caused disastrous consequences in the lives of the people. People have been arrested and they have been killed, right? I think that when we slow down, assess the situation, come to some type of empathetic understanding, then things can change. And then we can change the perception of the public. Here's a test question that is often in many tests for any type of promotional test. This one's a free one for you guys. The greatest indication of how well your police department is doing is not the amount of arrests, not the amount of convictions, not the amount of citations or summonses, or how much money that they have accumulated through the year. The greatest assessment that any police department can have is how well their citizen satisfaction rates. What is your level of citizen satisfaction? If the people in your community are at war with you, if they're constantly protesting you, if they're constantly not on your side, they refuse to give you information, they refuse to talk to you, if they refuse to communicate with you, then I think that you need to readjust, reassign, rethink what you're doing and how you're doing it. You cannot be at war with the community that you're policing. I think that that is what is exactly what was wrong with Ferguson, Missouri, where people are sick and tired of their police departments being at war with them, where they see the police as occupying forces, where the police departments use their citizens as a constant stream of revenue by giving out tickets. This causes a boiling point within the people. They're tired of being taxed. They're tired of being monopolized. They're tired of being dominated. They're tired of being controlled. They're tired of that. And they want an equal access and equal voice. They want procedural justice. Procedural justice is fair and equal treatment across the board in the way that they do things. And they want to know that if they make a complaint against the officer, that the police department will not retaliate against them. That if they make a complaint against any police officer, that the complaint will be researched and investigated to its fullest extent, and that if any appropriate action needs to be taken, it will be taken, whether that's termination, suspension, or simply a talking to or retraining. They just want to know that their voices are heard and that something is going to happen. And I think that if life has taught us anything, that we can get more flies with honey than we can with vinegar. On that note, thank you once again for listening. Check out my website, check out my blogs. Hit me up on the email, hunterpoliceconsulting@gmail.com. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. Let me hear from you. If you like the show, if you don't like the show, how can I fix it? How can I make it better? If you'd like to be a guest, maybe I've said some things in this podcast or on another episode that you liked, that you did not like, that you agree with, or did you disagree with, let me know if you'd like to be a guest, and I will take those things in consideration. I'll bring you on. We can have a nice dynamic conversation. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you guys next time. Until then, be safe, all officers, and take care.